So I've been away this past week, taking care of my sister's kids while they were on a special anniversary trip. It was a really good time of bonding with my two nieces and nephew, and my mind was in a completely different world there from Grandview Matters. Doing ordinary tasks that those of you who are parents do every day. I was preoccupied with getting them to school on time and keeping their basketball games and soccer practices straight and walking the dog and make sure they sleep and, most importantly, making sure they were fed. My nieces are 9 and 13 and my nephew is 15. They are growing and they need a lot of nourishment to grow. In this Lent season, we are focusing on bread. Jesus called himself the bread of life. And there are many references and stories about bread in our scriptures to spiritually feed us on this Lenten journey this season. Last week, the theme that Jake preached on was Jesus, our bread of life. And this week, the theme is bread for growth. Bread for our growth. So I was gone for just a week, but during that time, there was surprising growth happening here at Grandview. Apparently, Eastside Story Guilders had a wonderful time making paper mache for their set and their upcoming presentation, and all good except for when Caitlin came back downstairs to the rooms last week where they were stored, and she saw lots of mice enjoying that paper mache for lunch. It's made of flour and water, so basically free bread for the taking, or perhaps they were using that paper to make their nests. Well, the word got out. The mouse population has grown exponentially in our old building. We were thinking of investing in a church cat. But Caitlin called in the pest control. I think we're getting it under control. We need sustenance. We need food. We need bread to grow spiritually and physically. Bread is this common metaphor used in scripture because it was really relatable to first century Palestinian village life. Common people, regular people, poor people could understand the necessity of bread. If Jesus was born in another context, perhaps it would have been rice or plantains would have been a better metaphor. But the two stories here in Luke 13 parallel each other. They are stories that common people can understand. They are stories about ordinary life, the ordinary rhythms of life. Growing food and preparing food are the basic, necessary work of people everywhere across centuries, across cultures. And this work is usually done by people who are not powerful or privileged. This is who Jesus relates to most in these stories. They are accessible stories to the crowds who are listening. A farmer takes a small seed, plants it in the ground, and a large tree grows and provides homes for creatures of the air. The next story is about a woman who takes yeast and mixes it with a whole lot of flour, 60 pounds of it actually. A tiny bit of yeast mixed in with this amount of flour creates enough bread for a crowd of 150 people to be fed. Both stories have similarities. First of all, Jesus is clear what these stories are about. Jesus is trying to describe the kingdom of God. Trying to describe the kingdom of God is like trying to describe love or family or joy. It is not something that we have an explicit definition. So Jesus tells stories. He uses metaphors to describe what life with God is like, what we are to grow into. And we see in these stories that it starts small, like a tiny seed or like yeast. We see it's mainly hidden. Like a seed in the soil or like yeast in the flour. It starts so small, it is hidden. And then after waiting, and both of these stories include a lot of waiting. we see that something surprising and dramatic, bigger than our imagination, comes from that small hidden start. And this big surprise is nothing of our own doing. This surprise offers home and it offers nourishment for others. So let's ponder these small little parables more deeply. The kingdom of God, like a seed, like yeast. It is not domineering or coercive in power. They're small. It is hidden. These stories are situated in Luke's storytelling right after Jesus healed a crippled woman. It's the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and a woman who was bent over for 18 long years. She could not stand straight for 18 years. Imagine the immense pain her body was enduring for so long without medication, without relief. Jesus saw this bent woman, had compassion on her, and relieved her of her pain. The synagogue ruler immediately rebuked Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus countered with his own rebuke, something to the effect that compassion for human beings is more important, is actually the highest law to follow, and is the right interpretation of traditional and religious codes. In this story, Jesus was showing signs of the kingdom of God here. This kingdom of God comes when there is compassion on the least powerful, when there is restorative healing compassion on the small, forgotten, hidden ones, those the society has thrown away, like this bent woman. This is an example of what the kingdom of God is like. So the next thing that we notice in these parables, besides being small and hidden, is this surprise that comes. The surprise that comes is not at all in our power. That growth of the mustard seed and the work of the yeast is not something that humans can make happen. We don't have power over growth. The tree that grows out of the seed and the bread that comes out of the yeast is beyond our efforts. What we do is plant the seed and make sure that that soil has a lot of compost in it that is nurtured, that is nourished. What we do is feed that yeast to keep it alive. But all of that large growth, surprising growth, into something more than what was started is not in our hands. This is what the kingdom of God is like. We have a small part to play. The third thing we may notice from these parables is that so much good comes from the kingdom of God. This largeness that grows from that little seed and the bread that comes from the yeast is not a power that comes to destroy, but it comes to bring flourishing to others. The tree is home for the homeless. The bread is food for the hungry. This is how we know we are in the midst of God's presence. When the kingdom of God grows and is large, it does not harm. It is not selfish. It isn't dominant, but it brings good for others. We read this text in our staff meeting this week, and there are so many different images and thoughts that came from it. I am sure you have many thoughts as you read these stories today, and I'm curious about how you're connecting with it this morning. They are these just simple, very small stories, but they have a lot of energy in them. I wonder if something stirs for you. How do you relate this story to yourself as one who is seeking the kingdom of God in your own life? Or how does this story relate to us at Grandview, as we are seeking the kingdom of God together? Let's take a moment to reflect. Thomas, I'm wondering if you could put on the slide. And I know some of you may have a problem with that phrase, the kingdom of God. And I encourage you to reflect on that, ponder that, and connect it to what these stories, these small, simple stories, are saying about the kingdom of God. What is it like, and what stands out to you? So I'll just give you a moment to spiritually chew on this. Is there any of you that want to share how this story is connecting with you or connecting with Grandview? We just have time for a few people. Farzan and Michelle.
Well, for the first question, I am thinking and as I'm remembering as the recent trip that Monica had to Denver, was the kingdom of God would look like the church that I was under from 93 to 96, where we had always unification, love, support, protection, and love of God in our lives.
So remembering that time where you really experienced the kingdom of God in that community. Thank you.
That's what I think that heaven will look like.
Thank you, Monica. That's a poignant moment for me because Effie and I married here and we dedicated our two children here. And here we sit, and on our 15-hour journey here, we've listened to a book on an audiobook titled The Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking, and in it is this, do you know it?
No.
So good. And in it there's this sourdough bread baby, starter, and it eats the bad guys. And it's very effective. And so we're sitting here with our two children, and we also belong to a Baptist church in Bozeman, Montana, and really glad to be back here. So the kingdom of God.
Oh, I guess I'll, since the mic's in my hand, and I'm an extrovert, when you said that, I was thinking about parenting, actually. You kind of put in some yeast, and then whatever happens, happens. You just kind of hope for the best and pray that it rises well and, you know, doesn't get lumpy or whatever.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And it's really great to see you guys here and remembering the experience of the kingdom of God when you were here as well, and so many of you. And I'm just seeing Zoe as well. Welcome. Welcome, Zoe. It's nice also to see you back. Anybody else have something they just are connecting with the story that they want to share? I think Melody over there, but anybody before? So I don't have to walk back.
I'm also an extrovert. I thought about hunger being the being a basic human need of everyone. So the idea that hunger, that the bread or the nourishment feeds everyone. There's room for everyone. There's a place for everyone, and that looks unique. I think when we experience what the kingdom of God could be like.
It's expansive. It's for everyone. Yeah, it's beautiful. Do any introverts want to share? Yes, Melanie, all right.
I think that Jesus could have told a story in which God just did the whole thing, but it seems like a real gift that God wants us to be part of this kingdom. There's a place for us to plant seeds and mix in yeast, and I just feel grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's something, as you say, that's something we can do. We can do that planting, and we can do that mixing. That's a gift that God gives us that we can co-create. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Wendy.
Kind of connecting to what Melanie shared around people being involved in the kingdom of God, what stood out to me that it feels like the people who get a front row seat to the kingdom of God are the laborers and the people who do the cooking. And maybe in our society now, it's migrant workers who grow our produce, pick our produce, and underpaid people who work in kitchens that get to have this front row seat to the kingdom of God. And then what does it mean for us to be with these people to learn from them?
Thank you, Wendy, for deepening us in that. Yeah. Steve, are you an introvert or extrovert?
I'm just thinking about the metaphors are about things that grow and expand, but the language tool of a metaphor is something that intrinsically also forces us to grow and expand our understanding of the two things maybe that are being brought together in the same space. And so I'm just reflecting on what would that look like to sort of use or employ metaphor now relationally and how we think about even current events. I don't know. My mind's just kind of opening up some imagination there from hearing, thinking about how that's being used by Jesus in this context to help us see the kingdom of God is something that grows and expands, but he's actually using a tool that in and of itself is something that grows and expands. So.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, using our imagination, metaphor, and story, and how can that give us hope if we're thinking in those ways? Yeah. I find that these parables are incredibly hopeful. Another reflection on it for me is that it reminds us that God is in the small things in our lives, because we are surrounded these days by large, huge, ominous threats and chaos, large pain, large fears, large financial worry, large global problems. And God seems really, really small in the midst of it. But here in the middle of Luke's gospel, in these two small stories, we get images of hope. A man plants a seed, and many birds find rest and a home. A woman mixes yeast with flour, and crowds are fed. God is present and alive and active in the small and in the hidden. As I said, bread for growth is our theme the second week of Lent, and we gather each week, each Sunday, to taste God here in community, to be sustained and to grow spiritually together. We are offered a little bit of dry, gluten-free bread dipped in juice to represent our need to digest God each week, to seek the kingdom of God in our life situations as we go on from here. So maybe today we can just rest in these stories that show us the small, the hidden is good, it's enough, it's actually exactly how God works in our world. And maybe our invitation is to trust in this very small and hidden God. Is there a small glimpse of the kingdom of God or the small and hidden God that you can digest today to receive growth and nourishment? I invite you, Grandview, to receive God today in the mustard seed and in the yeast. Receive hope in God and God's growth far more than we can imagine. Amen.